Welcome, everybody. Rock Life Podcast here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center in San Bernardino, California. Antonio here. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hey, everybody.
I want to invite you to stay tuned all the way through because today we have been talking about the big idea.
Big.
And we are landing the plane to get our minds around this big idea. I hope you saved your $20 each word. We're using a big word.
This word is more than $20. I got to say, this is like a $50.
And, you know, on Scrabble, this would be probably a game. It'd probably end the game, right? Probably. I mean, if it could fit across the board.
Plus just the number value of the letters that you'd be putting down on the board.
Oh, yeah. And add it, throw in, because of the length, you're going to probably land on at least a double word or triple word or something.
I try to when I play.
Yeah.
I play Words with Friends.
Remember
that game?
That really gets in your mind going, too, right? I always wondered about Words with Friends because there's like words on there that aren't really words and
zoo,
that's a word,
XU, you know, like XI.
What language are we using? What is dictionary is this going off of? What is that? Key? Oh, interesting.
I
was always taught there's a U after Q, but
yeah, QU,
yeah,
but QI is acceptable in Words with Friends.
It's a different dictionary.
I've been playing since that game, I think, came out. So I don't even know.
It really hit back because I remember do you still play with Shane?
I still play with Shane,
yeah.
Shane Parker is our graphic artist here at the Rock Church World Library Center. So if you appreciate any of the graphic designs here, it's either Shane or Ron. But Shane, man, that guy, especially like all the sermon series behind us, you know, so we've had the chalkboard and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, when we were doing the Body Life series, people would come to me and be like, where do you get the images for the Body Life series with Jesus and the disciples and all that? And so he does use AI for some of that stuff, you know, to produce that. So he'd put like Jesus in the temple and produce AI. Yeah. But I mean, the guy's a whiz with Photoshop and stuff like that. So if it doesn't do what he wants it to do, he'll start there and then he'll add his layers onto those things.
But even the children's ministry, if you love the children, he hand draws.
Oh yeah,
a lot of that. That's just
a lot
hand-drawn
of that stuff. Yeah,
he's amazing.
Sarah Silly Sock Day. If you have the book, Shane did all the artwork for that. You know, and now the newly released Will There Be Pirates?
Where can we get that, Pastor? And I know this.
You know, I keep wrestling with our team. Like, I want our bookstore to be more vibrant and open. Yeah. So Love Rock Bookstore. But we're looking at Easter coming up.
Okay, very cool.
And so we did start a publishing company through the Rock.
Yeah, nice.
The logo. If you see it, let me know. If you realize where the logo comes from and what we're doing there, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of a throwback to something else. So
Pastor Dan is also an author.
Children's
book
author.
Author, musician, dad.
Renaissance man.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Painter. Well, I painted a fence at my house. Yeah, I'm a painter. Fine arts painter. Up, down.
Wrist. Anyways, we're doing the Karate Kid.
My son watches that movie like all the time.
Yeah. It's a classic.
It's always on in the
Rock
House.
You're the best. And you probably had to love the soundtrack, I'd imagine, as an 80s kid,
I can throw that music on and still dance around the house while I'm cleaning.
What is it, the song during the fight scene where they're in the skeletons and you know that like?
Thunder.
But that soundtrack is, you know. Anyways.
group costume if you're doing trunk or treat.
There
we
go.
Kind of fun,
hey, that would be fun.
The little.
And again, the shower. Oh man. Karate Kid, yeah, they just don't make them like they used to. That's how I know I'm officially old, when you start saying things like
and you start yelling at kids to get off the grass. I told my wife, I said, man, when I get older, I'm going to old man so hard. Like, when I get old, it's going to be on, you know?
Oh, man, I can see it coming. I feel it.
Yeah.
You know, when people are speeding through the neighborhood, what are you doing?
But I just want to be cranky.
They didn't even stop at that stop. There's a stop sign.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Start using my dad's word, bonehead. That was his word. Bonehead.
Oh, man. Oh, so good. Well, Pastor, this is why we need propitiation. Because in our
propitiation.
Flesh.
That just costs you like $100 right now.
Come on now. We're going to add
it
up.
Big word.
We should do a
timer.
Like a little ding. Yeah, ding. And how many times we use
it. We'll see.
And then add the dollars so we know our debt.
You're adding a whole lot of work to this. I know. Maybe they'll do it in post and they'll not do it through the thing because that might be a little distracting. But at the end, like rack it up.
Oh, like how many times?
You know, we never played the song last week.
So we're talking about a song. So if you remember, what was it, week three or week two?
It was
two?
For
Justified.
Justification, right?
We were talking about Justified. And I got to host that weekend.
Right.
So I kind of, you talked about it in first service about doing a duet Or no, you talked about singing that song. I was like, hey, let's do a duet of this song.
A duet. And yeah, we had our own.
This was on one of your missions trips, a local missions trip that you did, right, that you experienced.
This was in Scotland.
Oh, okay. So that was a mission trip, right?
Missions. Yeah. Overseas.
A local one. That's right.
Across the pond.
Across the pond. Scotland.
So let me find this remix that, well, it's not, this is like a reboot. This isn't even remix that Shane made.
It's that songified, right? Is that what it's called when you kind of take a clip and like...
It's AI. Yeah. Where is this?
Talking about the talents of Shane.
Seriously?
But I'm looking at Ian. Shout out to Ian, too. The talents of Ian.
Man, that guy. Great. We got
a great
team.
If you've noticed the podcast the last several weeks, we used to just have the one camera angle. Now we're working with three. I feel like this is like, we're coming to you live. I'm looking at this camera now because there's more than one. But anyways, are you bringing up the song?
I'm trying
song?
To find the song, but I for some reason, I'm not finding it.
Maybe in post too, we can, that'd be our intro or outro song.
Maybe put it, yeah.
So, but you have to give some context to it, Pastor Dan. Say what the song is.
So, yeah, we were at a missions trip in Scotland. I told the story in the message.
Yeah.
And man, we had a church service and this lady was singing this old hymn about being justified, and she's going for it, and she is just belting it out. She's got the old school, speaking about, back in the day, it's a mic with a cord, right?
Yeah.
And so she's there just belting it out, and she's singing about justification.
Yeah.
And but the words to the song give a great definition of it, because the words were justified, I'm justified, is just as if I'd never sinned.
Right.
And that stuck with me all these years, but and partly because of how shrill and high-pitched her voice was. Justified! She's going for it.
Yeah.
And so, the rest of the trip, all we had to do to make someone laugh was just start singing the song, Justified! And somebody rolling laughing. But, that stuck with us all that time. So mm-hmm. Shane puts it in. You know what? Let me look it up a different way. I got to find this. I'm starting to waste our time. We've got to do it. I don't know.
Hang tight, folks.
Maybe we should put it in post because it might be better. But where did it go? See, look at this. It's not working. I don't know why. Oh, here it is. I think I found it. Looky here. Yeah, so he sends it with the over. So we're talking about the overheads in the email. And he says, just seeing if you need anything for this weekend service. Besides this great auto-tune intro song. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Wait, let me turn up the volume here. We've got to make sure we get it good.
Justified. I'm justified. It's just as if I've never sinned. God has removed me from the crime scene.
Now this has to check so many boxes because you wanted to, your testimony is you wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah. I think we get some more.
I'm justified. I'm justified.
You
got an air guitar this time. Let me get my riff in.
Justified. I'm justified. It's just as though I never sinned.
I can picture like the chord with the
there we go.
That is awesome.
Amazing, right?
They're going to ask for us to release that
so
on Spotify.
Yeah, it's an instant classic. Billboard top 100 immediately.
I'm laughing, but it is excellent.
You almost by nature started doing the Metallica, But you got to be careful.
I'm just like, wait, what does this mean?
Yeah, we don't want to have any Satan worship going on.
So I'm like, just raise my hands up.
Yes. it's a pro. So funny story, when I first took Jess out on a date.
Yeah.
Okay, she called it our first date. I don't know that it was a date. I just invited her to something that was going on. I was interning at a church in San Diego, and right at the end of El Camino Real in Encinitas. And so they would do shows. They had one of those, they're called sprung instant structures. It's like a tent.
Yeah.
And a lot of churches have them as like their overflow or a different room or something like that. So they had like a half dome that they made for the youth room. Okay. Yeah. And so it was off the back of the church. And so they did, you know, all their youth ministries in there. Well, they did a concert in there.
Yeah.
And it was a hard rock, like, and I'm, when I talk hard rock, like what the world calls death metal, they did like this heavy metal, you know, like they didn't sing, they scream.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it wasn't like screamo. It wasn't like some scream and some sing. It was all like, you know? And so at one point, one of the guys threw the microphone down and was like, you know, and just, you know, I took her to the show. And she's like, man, I think that guy has demons. And I'm like, honey, this is a Christian show. Like, he's praising God right now. Can't you see him? Like, he's like, I praise you, Lord. You know? Yeah. And she's like, no, that's devil worship, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those weird things. But yeah, in the dome.
Wow.
Transported to another place.
And, you know, what was your feeling when you first heard it? Because, I mean, that's your voice that got songified.
Crazy, right?
And it's like, it just like, if you were a rock star, that would have been. Now, were you a that metal guy, or were you more of, what was your genre that you?
So, I liked indie rock more than anything else, which a lot of people don't know what that would entail. Yeah. And it
kind of can be ambiguous, right?
A lot of things. Yeah. But you know, I mean, I loved, there were some old Christian rock bands, Plank Eye, loved them. Mm-hmm. They were great. There was another one, gosh, I'm trying to think of some of the, Black Eyed Siva was great. You know, some of these old, I mean, obscure people don't really know who these guys are.
Yeah.
Still love Switchfoot to this day. Listen to all them and Jars of Clay. I mean, I love how they've morphed over the years. But Switchfoot has still stayed true to like their surf rock kind of vibe and that sort of a thing.
Well, indie really just kind of means underground, right? So it's rock, but then you kind of get the...
We liked it before it was cool.
No, right, exactly. And I remember that was the flex. Yeah. Right? Like, well, I liked indie hip hop or like underground hip hop.
Yeah.
And it's like basically then you get commercial and then all of a sudden it's like, well,
yeah, no. So
it's
we,
the flex to be like,
we
I
did
like
that. Me. Yeah. You know, and whatever music was popular at that time, we were kind of, you know, involved in some of those things. But we had a pretty good sound when we were doing that coming up. Played guitar and sang, and we had a couple different stuff. Pastor Luke was in a band with me for a time. Yeah, he played the bass guitar. I played guitar, and then Eddie Alguero, who's the youth pastor here back in the day, who now pastors C3 in the desert.
Yeah,
his son Malachi was a drummer, phenomenal drummer. Yeah,
very cool.
So.
Well, that's
we are
great,
so far off topic. I mean, I don't know where this is going, what we're doing.
And we're talking about
justification, right? Just as if I'd never
closing
sinned.
Closing out our series, of an amazing series.
Yeah.
And painting this picture. And so I'd like you to, Pastor Dando, again, break this down, because I know in the message you get through this thing, but like you said, it's a 3.5-hour course
in a
shorter message.
Yeah.
So... But if you are breaking down, let's again for our listeners, maybe they didn't all go to the message. Encourage you to check out the message.
Go back and listen to all five.
Oh, really? And that's really gonna all make sense.
It'll bless you and it'll give you the complete picture.
But this $100 word, how many? What's it called? Does it have? What is it called when it's like this? Is it not syllables or is it?
Yeah.
No, syllables. Propitiation. Five. $20 a syllable. $100.
$100.
So $100 word, propitiation.
It's all about the
break
Benjamin.
This down for us, Pastor Dan.
So the big idea, right?
Yes,
we started with that humanity, all of us are sinful in need of a Savior, right? That we can be given righteousness, right? We can be made righteous through faith, okay?
Amen.
That's the grace, the power of God that does that on our behalf. That God will declare us righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And he will justify us. Just as if I'd never sinned. Okay. And then we found out that we were redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That Jesus paid the price for us. All of those big ideas bring us to the big idea of propitiation.
Yeah.
The problem is we don't know what propitiation is. We can barely even say it, right? Yeah. It's a hard word to say, propitiation, because we don't. Used term,
right.
You know, and if you say it in the Greek, it doesn't even sound like anything that we would use. You know, sometimes we talked about metamorphosis last week,
right?
Metamorphosis, you can see. It's like eulogy, right? Mm-hmm. That's a word that we get from the Greek, right? That means a giving of thanks or, there's certain things.
Yeah, for sure.
You can say, okay, well, that. But when we say hilasterion.
Oh, yeah, that's not,
what is that?
Yeah.
I think the closest idea that we might have would be atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And many times we see these things as, again, I think culturally, atonement, I need to go atone for my sins. We're paying the price, which was never God's intent in heart. You couldn't pay the price.
Yeah.
And in order for you to live, if you paid the price, you were dead.
Yeah.
Right? But in order for you to live, an innocent life had to be given for a guilty party. That was from the very beginning. Yeah. That was from the garden.
Yeah.
Okay? Because God said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam and Eve ate of it. Spiritually, they were separated from God.
Yep.
Spiritual death took place in that moment, mm-hmm. right? That's why God comes in and says, where are you?
Yeah.
They've been separated, severed. Mm-hmm. Relationally, spiritually, they're dead. Mm-hmm. And I think personally, this is just me thinking, right? Mm-hmm. That the process of decay in the body, physical death, started at that moment.
Yeah.
That their eyes were opened.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They could have lived forever in God's presence, sustained by his presence.
Right.
And yet, because they ate, death started to be produced in them.
Right.
And creation changed because of that, right?
Yeah.
So again, this is the big idea. This is the big idea of the Bible.
Right.
And what does God do? God makes them tunics of skin.
Yeah.
Now we think about that. Oh, God made clothes for them because their clothes that they made, the coverings they made, they weren't good enough. They had fig leaves they sold together. And we're thinking about cotton.
Yeah.
We're thinking about clothing like this. But where do you get tunics, coverings, clothes of skin?
Yeah.
Whose skin?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve were the only people on the planet. So it had to be what? An animal. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I personally think before the flood that the relationship to the animal kingdom was different than it is now.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Okay. And
yeah.
Here's the reason why. How did Noah and his family, eight people, stay on a boat with lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my.
Yeah. Right.
For over a year. Read your Bible.
Yeah.
Not just 40 days and 40 nights. They were on that boat for over a year.
Yeah.
Without getting eaten alive, torn to pieces, all that kind of stuff. Mm. Not just lions and tigers and bears. I mean, all kinds of animals.
Yeah.
Reptiles, crocodiles. I mean.
And all of them needed to sustain life as well.
They had to eat. And something changed after the flood. What does God tell Noah? I put the fear of man on the animal kingdom. Before that, there wasn't a fear of man on the animal kingdom.
Mm.
So when God's in the garden with Adam and Adam is naming all the animals, he's bringing them before Adam, he probably cuddled up to a bear.
Right, right.
I remember hearing my pastor, Pastor Rich Hall, who goes to our church now, great man of God. I remember him talking about in the future when, what does it say, the lion will lay down with the lamb, right? Yeah. And he said that creation will be redeemed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're looking forward to that day. And he talked about, wouldn't it be fun to just wrestle a tiger?
Like you would a kitty cat.
Yeah,
or something.
I mean, come on, you know. I mean, my kids play with our dogs, you know, and my son has a special relationship where he could just get our little dog riled up. You know, we talk about Lucy, our Lulu. She's a nut, but she'll come and they'll just play, man. And he'll be petting her and being nice, and all of a sudden she's like, you know, and it's on, right? They're going crazy. I would imagine Adam probably had that relationship where it's like, hey, you know, and he's hitting the tiger or something like that and pushing
what
it.
What a
and
trip,
it jumps on him and, you know. I would imagine it was a different relationship. Mm-hmm. So think about this for a second, okay? Even in our lives, you have dog moms and dads, right? Yeah. You got cat moms and dads. You got people that just love animals. You got these people online that have their goat or their little potbelly pig that's they're carrying around like a baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How much we love our animals. Even you know, you see people with these what is the big hair cows, like the North Scottish Island cow or something like that. The big long hair.
I was thinking of alpacas, but that's not a cow. but they have a lot of people get the the look, Pastor.
We shouldn't have played the song this episode. This is not the episode to play the song. But you think about how attached people get to their animals to where they're. I mean, people grieve when their animals die, right?
Yeah.
So Adam and Eve had an even more probably intimate, I would say, relationship with the animals. Some people even think the animals maybe spoke.
Mm. Wow.
Think about Balaam and the donkey. When the donkey started talking, Balaam didn't bat an eye.
Right.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe being a mad prophet, that was acceptable to him.
Yeah.
But in any event, the snake talked to Eve and she had no problem with it.
Right.
Now we know that was the devil.
Yeah.
right? That serpent of old. But could it be that people talked to the animal kingdom? Mm. I don't know. I talk to my dogs. They seem to understand.
God changed the language of man at Babel.
Babylon.
So, I mean, he could have mixed it up. He could have silenced the animals.
Yeah.
Or I mean, they're not silent. They growl and roar. And they, I mean, they're...
yeah, I mean, but I talk to my dogs.
Yeah.
And they know what I'm saying. When I say come, they come.
Yeah.
Yep. When I say get out of here, they go, right?
Yeah.
When I tell them bad dog, their ears flip down and their tail goes between them. I mean, they understand certain things, right?
Right?
So without the fear of man on the animal kingdom, how much more would the animals understand, even if there wasn't language or that sort of a thing, right? That's that's fun to think about. But even if there wasn't, right? Yeah. The Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
So let's stay in the realm that we live in, right? Even without that, they probably had a closer relationship.
Yeah.
So Adam names all these animals, and there are certain animals that we know would stay closer to man than others would.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Where did God get tunics of skin?
Yeah.
Could it be that he brought sheep? These fluffy, wonderful, close creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a mean part of them. I mean, when you're around them, some people say the sheep bite, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But they don't have fangs.
Right. They're not predators.
Nah. They're followers,
mm-hmm.
right? They probably followed Adam and Eve around. See that with Noah too, right? Here they are. He had seven of them. They reproduced, and they had a lot of them on the boat over that year.
Yeah.
And so they were what was considered to be a clean animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they would use in sacrifices. Why? Because I believe that was the first sacrifice. The Bible never says,
right.
Personally, when I think about this, it just makes sense.
Right.
With how much emphasis God puts on it, that the animals that God would have made tunics of skin from.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been the lamb, would have been the sheep, right? Or the goat. Mm-hmm. We see that in Scripture too.
Yeah,
might be the red heifer.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, we don't know. But what we do know is that Adam and Eve may have been brokenhearted, because before this, we don't see an animal sacrifice. We don't see the shedding of blood.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see any of that stuff. So to them, they're probably thinking, "This is brutal."
They've named this animal. Imagine going. I mean. Abraham sacrificed Isaac.
Right.
Adam sacrificed Lulu. your pet sheep.
Your pet sheep, yeah.
Ooh, man, that's a trip.
Wild to think about.
Yeah.
But it had to be an innocent life that was given for the guilty party. And this is the big idea from the beginning. This is the big idea that we see woven throughout the Scriptures.
Yeah.
This is the big idea that we see in the sacrificial system with the priesthood, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Aaron and Moses, right? Everything had blood sprinkled on it, even the people, even the book, the articles of the tabernacle. Blood was everywhere. Why? Because an innocent life was given for a guilty party. It was always sacrifice.
And what blood represents, it circulates our life, DNA, all this
the
stuff
life
that
of
now
the flesh
we know
is the
about.
Blood.
Yeah.
Right? And God says, I've given you on the altar to make atonement for your soul. Right. Now, in the Old Testament, that atonement was a covering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just like Adam and Eve were covered.
Yeah.
Their nakedness was covered, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the altar sense, when the blood hit the altar, he said it covered your sin. You're no longer naked and exposed as sinful, but it covered, but it didn't do away with the issue.
Oh.
So the Day of Atonement was the day of covering. They would cover sins, but they had to do that once a year. Every year they were uncovered again. Every year. It never had the, I would use the term efficacy.
Right.
This cost me some money right there. Right. That's phony.
This is adding up here.
It didn't have the efficacy, the efficiency, the ability, the power, the potency, if you will, to be able to really take care of the sin issue in my life.
Right.
I still am in that position of sin. So that's where propitiation, right, covers sin. It's atoning for the sin.
Right.
And it happened at a place called the mercy seat.
Right.
And I love that because the blood applied turns that seat, the throne of God, from one of judgment into one of mercy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, share this story. You had mentioned this story where you had such a thorough breakdown because here we have this big nugget of a concept.
Yeah.
That when you break it down, I mean, even in how you broke it down, makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But why propitiation in the same way? You mentioned the picture of the ministry you guys received in Mexico about how the story was broken down of why the mercy seat, what's going on? Because the picture of God required this.
So think about it in this way. I love the fact that you brought this up. I was in high school, mm-hmm. teenager. We went on short-term missions, week-long,
mm-hmm. yeah.
down into Mexico, and we would partner up with other churches, mm-hmm. things like that. And so they had us at this camp. And one day it was a time for our group mm-hmm. Bible study and that yeah. sort of a thing. And actually, they brought Francis Chan out.
Yeah,
this was before he right. had his books. And
little preacher named by the name of.
Yeah, I mean it was cool, and yeah. he's a great communicator, mm-hmm. great minister, and a great speaker. And I've received a lot over the mm-hmm. years from him.
Yeah.
But he was preaching to us, and what's funny is it was a windy day, and so they had all of the students on two buses, and he had to go from one bus and preach to that bus, and then he had to go to the other bus and preach the same message yeah. to that bus. So I don't know if he was rushing because of that, because he had to do yeah. you know the yeah. kind of double time, but he was giving an altar call and giving people the opportunity to get saved at that point. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of that, he started talking about the position that our sin put God in.
Yeah,
basically that when we sinned, the justice of God comes in and says that you have to be condemned as yeah. guilty, right? Otherwise, God would not be just if he didn't right. condemn sin.
Yeah.
And the punishment carrying out of that sentencing
yeah.
was death, right? So here the justice of God says you're guilty and you have to die. But then the love of God comes in and says, but I love them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I still remember Francis Chan in his way of speaking. He's, the justice of God is on this yeah. side saying they're guilty and they yeah. must be condemned. But the love of God comes yeah. in. And I mean, just...
Yeah.
passionately preaching this,
yeah.
they're at war. They're yeah. at odds with one another. Yeah. The justice of God says guilty, and they're condemned to death.
Yeah.
But the love of God says, I want to live with them forever.
Right.
And there was a moment, and I mean, this dropped on me, yeah. that Francis, when he said this, it hit me, and it's never left. And he said, and in the middle of that, Jesus Christ stepped in and ended the war.
Wow. Powerful.
Jesus now has become our mercy seat.
Wow.
Jesus is the propitiation.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one who paid the price, shed his blood,
yeah.
and made atonement.
Right.
But there is something else that happens. The New Testament, atonement shifts. Mm-hmm. It turns from the old covenant understanding.
Yeah.
Remember, this is a new covenant. It's a better covenant with better promises. Built on better sacrifices. No yeah. longer the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. So with that, the atonement is better. Atonement in the old covenant was covering. It just covered up the issue year yeah. after year after year after year. It could never take away sins. Jesus, in his propitiation, in his atonement, now changes the dynamic. It's right. better yeah. in the sense that now it is efficient. It is
so potent. Good.
It is
yeah.
powerful. It is better in the sense that now that meaning changes from covering to exchange.
Well, you know, and it makes me think of, and we hear it so much, and even logically it can make sense. How, and you've probably heard this, how I just don't get God. You know, how can a loving God send people that he supposedly loves to hell?
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of, you know,
question of the apologetics. Ages. Hundreds of years people have been asking that question.
And but I think you just touch on that. You see both the dynamics, God is going
to
be just.
God does not send anyone right. to hell
right.
that he hasn't died for, paid mm-hmm. the price for,
right.
and that rejected the payment price.
Right.
Right? God is not sending people to hell because right. he wants to.
Yeah.
He died because he doesn't want them to go to hell, yeah. in other words. Yeah. I don't know that I said that right, but the heart behind it is simply this. God did everything God could do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to save us,
right.
to redeem us, to declare us righteous. He yeah. wanted to, yeah. right? But it's only by faith in Christ.
Yeah.
The sacrifice and the price that was paid, that's going to happen. And when we declare Jesus is who he says he is, yes. he died for my sins, mm-hmm. I receive him as my Lord and right. Savior and lay down my life, yeah. right? An exchange happens.
Yeah.
Our life mm-hmm. for his.
Yeah.
Our rags for his riches.
Yeah.
Our death for his life.
Yeah.
Right? That exchange is now made. Darkness for light.
Yeah.
Okay? Poverty for wealth, right? Slaveship
mm-hmm.
for kingship and kinship.
Yeah.
Right? Man. Family of the devil to the family of God. Exchange. There's a transfer.
Yeah.
Ownership. Everything. All that exchange is made in that moment. That's really what this is talking about. Without that exchange, you're still dead and headed for hell. The wrath of God rests on you. Or it rests on Christ. When you're in Christ, it's resting on him. No longer on you. You don't have to go to hell. God doesn't want to send you to hell, but he will if you reject the price.
I'm trying to, you know. I see why this kind of closes it, because you're taking all these steps that we've talked about.
It's all wrapped up in this one beautiful package, propitiation, the exchange that was made.
And this informs our life as not just believers, as just humans on this earth.
Yeah.
That we have this option.
Well, think about it. We use this definition in the message that it turns away God's wrath, the wrath that would have sent us to hell, right? The wrath that would have punished us for eternity in hell.
Right.
It turns away God's wrath by doing what? Satisfying his violated justice. That's why the war, the enmity that Francis Chan was preaching to all of us on that bus in Mexico on a windy day, right?
Right.
The justice of God.
Right.
God is right in punishing sin. Okay, but the love of God, that God loves us, that he didn't want us to be living in that eternal state. That's why God closed the way to the garden, so that they didn't eat of the tree of life in a fallen state. He had to pay the penalty so that that way could be open. Now we could receive the tree of life and live forever in a redeemed state.
And
big idea.
It only speaks to the credibility of God, that he takes away any of the subjectivity of this, because he stays just.
Yes,
he has to, he's gonna be, because otherwise it's like he just picks and chooses, and he violates his own laws based on which would make him unjust. He wouldn't be the just God that he is. So here's who he says he is, and these are the rules that he has said I'm gonna see it play out on the earth.
It could only be an innocent life that was given for the guilty party. Right. Jesus was innocent. The thieves next to him, right? The thief on the cross that was next to him, he testified of it.
Right.
Pilate.
Right.
I find no wrong in him. And yet they said, crucify him. He didn't do anything wrong, and yet he was still sent, condemned to die a sinner's death.
And God's not asking anything that he didn't give himself. I was thinking about this the other day. Jesus was God's only begotten son.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's not like I give this son, I have others. Of course, this will be sad, but I have other sons. No, this is my only begotten son. This is everything. This is my everything.
So in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, when it talks about Abraham taking Isaac, God says, I want you to take your son, your only son. The language of that from the Greek version of the Old Testament is your only begotten son. Same word that in the New Testament.
Yeah.
John 3:16.
This is so powerful, because this concept, Pastor. And guys, you have to take Bible. Go to Bible college here at The Rock, where you teach this course.
This one teaching, I unpack in three sessions of Bible college.
Right.
It's just so much. It's like this weekend was like taking a drink out of a fire hose.
Right. Yeah. But it's so empowering to our Christian walk.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and we've talked over the weeks of this message, and you explained it in each sermon as well, the practical of how we're talking about how it informs our life. How do we live knowing these things? Because if we're not careful, and you're just coming to church, like these words will fly over your head, but they all have such profound meaning to how we live our life, to know that I don't have to be stuck in guilt and shame.
Oh.
And to know that God, who is a just God, paid the price. That really changes how I live life. Even as someone who has daily struggles, even as someone who goes through challenging thoughts, but that God took care of this for me.
Absolutely. Well, when you realize the power of the exchange,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to live in guilt, shame, and condemnation any longer. I don't have to live in doubt and fear and unbelief.
Yeah.
I've exchanged that life for the life of faith, for the life of triumph, for the life of joy,
mm-hmm.
for the life of peace.
Yeah.
We've made an exchange. I mean, it's been a full exchange.
Yeah.
And his riches have been given to us. We've been given sonship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are kings and priests, like we talked about when we ministered on redemption.
Yeah,
we now have a new life.
Yeah,
and that's the amazing thing. I mean, that's that right there.
Yeah,
you talk about the mic drop moment. The big idea.
Yeah.
Is that exchange has been made. Listen, as believers, we have the life of God that's been given. Death for life.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. It changes everything.
Yeah, right.
Changes that exchange. So if you've made it, it changes everything.
Right.
Whole world.
There's that song, The Beautiful Exchange. Is it Hillsong?
Yeah.
The
Beautiful. Great song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know we've gone a little bit longer, but we wanted to make sure we didn't sell ourselves short on this topic again, because we're talking about the big idea.
So absolutely.
What's a few extra minutes? But I know,
right,
Pastor Dan, it really is so profound. And as we close off on this topic, it's not like this stop. This is something that, again, it sticks with us because
sure.
It becomes part of,
right.
It becomes part of our knowledge in walking out our Christian life. Any closing thoughts on that though? Like if you could wish one or two takeaways, like, hey, if you guys, as your pastor, I'd love for you to live with this.
Sure.
You know, you talked about throughout the series, things that have stuck with you. That Francis Chan message,
yeah,
the
yeah.
song even, you know,
like
these
yeah.
things, some of these things mark you. What's the marking moment?
I think for all of us, the marking moment is that we've been given, number one, in this exchange, the life of God. And this is where Galatians 2:20 is a great verse to memorize. Mm-hmm. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. Live the new life.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the penny drops. You know, when you put a quarter of a penny in one of those little gumball machines,
yep.
you turn it, the penny drops, and
yep.
what happens, and the candy comes yep. out, right? I hope the penny drops in someone's spirit. You've exchanged the old life for the new life. Live the new life. This is what we're going to be unpacking in Romans mm-hmm. 6, 7, and 8
mm-hmm.
when we get there.
Yeah.
How do I do that when I'm wrestling in the flesh? Live the new life.
Wow.
Choose to walk in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Choose to overcome those things,
yeah.
right? It is a choice.
Yeah.
Now, you're forgiven, you're free, but you still are wrestling against those things.
Yeah.
But if you realize the exchange has been made, I don't have to live that life any longer. Live the new life. Live the life of God by faith.
Amen.
Faith is where you started.
Yeah.
And faith is how you're going to finish, right?
Yep.
Paul says, I fought the good fight of what? Faith.
Yep.
That's the life that we live, believing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Live from
yep.
there. Great friend and man of God, minister Alan Platt's ministered at The Rock in years past. He wrote a book, We Start at Finish. Because of the finished work of the Lord
yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's where our life starts.
Yeah.
That's when we believe the exchange is made, and now, bang,
yeah.
we wow. start at finish. Jesus said, it is finished, and now our life begins, right? Live from that place.
Man, so good, Pat.
I don't know how we got from laughing about the song to these serious moments, but somehow we
yeah.
did it. So anyways, great podcast.
We covered
it all.
Rock, talking animals. These are some, those are some, maybe we can have a
deep,
podcast on that. That's
deep
that's
stuff.
That's really cool.
Deep stuff. And we'll talk about the Nephilim.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't understand that stuff.
Hey, well, we love you guys. Like, share, subscribe, comment, spread the word. And we love being a part of your walk with God. Let us know how we can pray for you, walk with you. We love you. God bless you.